So today is part two of our Galatians series. So if you do have a Bible, go ahead and open it up. And if you didn't bring one, there's a Bible right in front of you in the pew, and you can turn to page 1001. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 1, and this morning we're going to start with verse 11. Now, just I'm going to tell you about this passage, okay? In this passage, we see the Apostle Paul declaring or redeclaring about the gospel, where it is from, not of man-made origin, but from God himself. And then Paul has an example or as a testimony of the power of the gospel, then goes and tells his testimony, tells his story. And in his story, we see three parts: who he was before he encountered Christ, how Christ came and opened his eyes, and then how his life changed afterwards as evidence to God's power of grace through the gospel. And as we read about his story, I want us to consider about our own story. What is your story in walking and meeting and continuing, hopefully going forward in the grace of Christ? Every person in this room has a story. Sometimes we're at one point, and other times we'll be at another point. And my encouragement for us today is recognize the power of your testimony. Recognize the power of the gospel to change lives, including mine, including most of us, if not all of us in here. Your life matters, your story matters. And some of our stories are more dramatic than other ones, but when the gospel connects to the darkness of our soul, the light of the gospel of grace encounter it, and it encounters us. If we believe, if we receive God's grace, there is a change, not super on the surface, right? But in our hearts. And granted, we are changed and are changing, right? I have not reached anywhere close to perfection, but we're continuing to move in a Godward direction as the Holy Spirit continues to conform us into the image of His Son. To go into eternity, and I've said this before, that God looks for family resemblance, right? He looks to see if we look like Jesus. And again, not a Jewish, short Jewish man with, probably curly hair, but that our character has been shaped. There is a family spirit, right? The Holy Spirit working in us. And so that's what God does through the grace of the gospel. Now, if you remember, Paul was writing to this church in the area of Galatia. So this is in an area of Asia. Paul was the one who delivered them initially the gospel, and those who were there believed. Now, tragically, over time, other communicators, other preachers, other religious type of folks came to them and explained a different gospel than what Paul delivered. Now, put this church in confusion, and they were thinking, well, it's the grace of Christ, but I have to continue to follow the Jewish rules, or I have to add to what Christ did to ensure that I am saved. And this was grievous to Paul. His pastoral heart came to him like, what has happened to you guys? And listen, if anyone preaches a gospel different than the one I've preached to you, he said, even myself or even an angel or anyone that comes, may that person be, here's the word, accursed. Believe what I have communicated to you. So this is kind of the context of where we're going, and those are the verses that we looked at last week, and we're going to hear again this assertion, this claim that the gospel is not of human origin, okay? So we're going to read that, we're going to talk about it as we unpack this passage so that we can be impacted, encouraged, benefit, hear this message yet once again. So here we are, Galatians chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. Paul says, I want you to know, both brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, again, I'm going to remind us, and if you are here for the first time today, earlier in this letter, Paul told us the gospel that he preached when he wrote, and this is what he wrote, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age." There it is. "Which is according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Or, simply put, the gospel is God rescues us through Christ. Or perhaps more fully, God rescues us through Christ by his grace for his glory and our gladness. Aren't you proud of my alliteration there? I worked on that, okay? God rescues us through Christ. There is so much in that. We see in it God's heart for his creation, for his people, starting out with God. God so loved the world, right? That he gave his one and only Son, rescuing us. You and I and the entire creation have plunged ourselves in darkness because of our willful disobedience against God. We are in a dark or evil or present evil age. Not just evil around us, but the worst and tragic thing that there is evil when in us. A desire to do our own thing. A desire to say, you know what, God, I know that you said that we shouldn't, but I really think it's a good idea too. And we fill in the blank. Now we know in Scripture that it says that the wages of sin is death, right? God is righteous. God is just. God does know the truth. And choices have consequences or benefits. And so God, not changing his character, holds his creation, his children, accountable because it is an expression of his love, right? Let that sink into your mind. God, knowing that the wages of sin is death, sent his Son, Jesus. Jesus, the perfect human, entered in. The Bible calls him the second Adam, the first one being in Genesis. And now Jesus, born of a virgin, enters into creation, living a perfect, sinless life. There's only one person who could have walked into heaven on his own merit. That person isn't you, right? It was Jesus, right? But instead of going through this life and saying, well, good luck, y'all, I'm out of here. It was God's will that Jesus will rescue us from the present evil age. It was his choice to take the punishment and do us. Make it personal. Do you. Do me. He made the choice to be that sacrificial lamb that the Old Testament pointed to. To take our place. So that in Christ we may receive the grace of Christ that we can become righteous. That's incredible. That's amazing. And all who believe, all who have received him, he gives the right to become children of God. The gospel is glorious. It is sacred. And it's not our human opinion. It wasn't a committee that got together to say, let's create a religion. What should we do, right? Frankly, the gospel isn't flattering, right? Starts out that you need to be rescued, and most of us don't want to be rescued. I've got it myself. Thank you very much. But it's a reality. And Paul claimed, and the Bible claimed, and the writers that wrote these things down as they're enabled and carried by the Holy Spirit claim and say that this message of grace and of the gospel, we didn't make this up. There wasn't a committee that was trying to bamboozle the people of the world. This was revealed by God Himself in Christ Himself. That is a massive claim. So we have to deal with this. It's either true or it's false. Now, if it's false, then we can just disregard it, right? Well, make up your own religion, like Choose Your Own Adventure books. You guys remember those from the 80s? Some of you are like, 80s? What are you talking about? Okay. Oh, whatever. One opinion among many, right? But if it is actual and true, a revelation from the Creator God, from Jesus Himself, who walked among us, if this message is true, then it means so much. We have to deal with this. Am I indeed a sinner? Am I indeed in need of rescue? And if we examine ourselves, you'll see that, I am bent towards things that I know aren't right. I can't even do the good that I want to do. Walking in shame or guilt or feeling broken and abandoned and beat up. Paul understands that. And he says, now, as proof of this message and its power being real, let me just tell you about my story. Now, Paul could have just written a treatise, and we have this actually in the book of Romans, where he explains logically, right, from creation, from all of these things, and puts together these tight arguments to declare and to prove and give evidence for the power of the gospel. And sometimes, as you are communicating the gospel or understanding it yourselves, these things matter. But in this case, Paul said, you know what? I'm going to bring to you Exhibit A, my life. And I'll tell you this, your testimony of God's grace matters, right? How you live matters. If the gospel hasn't reached your life and changed you, and I'm going to say this, continuing to change you, okay? If it's changed you, that is powerful evidence, right? And so Paul brings this forward. And so we're going to read his story as he describes it here in this letter to the Galatians, and it is in other places of the Bible, namely Acts chapter 9, where there's a story of Paul's conversion. In other places, he talks about his life before Christ. And so we're going to see what he says about his story. And I want us to realize and recognize that the gospel redeems our past. And is that not good news, right? So here we go, Galatians chapter 1. Continuing with verse 13, he says, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God, and I tried to destroy it. Now, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Now, let's pause there. Paul describes what he was about at that time, what he had done in his past, saying, this is my previous way of life. He just names some of the stuff and describes himself. Now, in his case, he says he was extremely zealous for his religious convictions, and he intensely persecuted the church and tried to destroy it. Now, if you think about your life, there are indelibly, that's a hard word, there is assuredly some things in your past, and it could be yesterday, right? Not decades ago, that you regret, that you knew was not in God's good will. It was other than loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And you stand saying, yeah. In that time, in that place, in that situation, I blew it. And in all of our stories, you and I have been hurt by the sins of other people. Some of it grievous. Some of the stories that I know just in the room, and these are just the stories I know there's others. Heartbreaking. Tear-inducing. Tragic. Things that should have never happened, and things we have participated in. Paul saying, that was me. Now, Paul's story is that he was a good Jewish boy. Not only was he a good Jewish boy, he believed and was zealous about the traditions of his father. Right? He saw Jesus as a fraud. And so in his self-righteous, pompous arrogance, he wasn't just, he was trying to be a good Jewish man, but he saw Jesus as a fraud, and so he decided to destroy the church. He was destroying lives, he was destroying families, and he was dismantling churches. It was later said of him that he wrote that he was breathing threats and murder against the church in Acts chapter 1. He persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And there are all types of sin. But sometimes religious sin, sin done in the name of God, is the worst kind. And we can say amen to that. He wasn't just walking away from God, but he was actively pursuing him to destroy the gospel of grace, to maim the testimony of Jesus, to dismantle families, dragging them away, separating parents from children and children and parents, breaking up when groups met together to talk about Jesus. And he was doing this city after city, trying to eradicate this message of Jesus and this gospel of grace. In the prayer meeting this morning, it was mentioned that if you probably would have polled, you know, Peter and John and James and the disciples, and if you would have asked them at that time, who's the most unlikely candidate to believe the message of grace, they probably would have all pointed to this guy named Paul, right? Or Saul at the time. Thank you for that. Yeah, his name was changed. His identity was changed. And so Paul brings forward not just what he did, but the attitude in which he did it. And if you think about your story, you will have an element of that to a degree, some more dramatic than others. This is what was happening inside of me. But there is a moment in which Paul encountered or was arrested by, or Jesus revealed himself to him. This is the next point. The gospel opens our eyes. As Paul continues his story and saying, I was horrible. And then this occurred. And I love these three words, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, encircle this, called me by his grace. But when God was pleased to reveal his Son, not just to me, but in me. Now, if you know the story from Acts chapter 9, Paul was going to another city called Damascus to dismantle the church. And as he was on his way, the Lord Jesus Christ himself appeared to him as a blinding light that actually literally blinded him, an external manifestation of this internal state. He thought he could see, but really he was blind. And Jesus said, well, if you want to see, I want to show you me. And he said to him, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When the church of Christ is persecuted, that is, stood against, pushed against, railed against, it is against the church, and it is against, at times, individuals, but ultimately, it is against Christ who redeemed us by his grace. And Paul, at that moment, became blind. He was blind for 3 days. Sounds familiar. Fasted, and I believe during that time, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him. He spoke, this is the Holy Spirit, to a guy named Ananias who came there. He was scared. He's like, I'm not going to talk to that guy. Lord says, you are going to talk to that guy. You're going to pray for him. And when you pray for him, the scales of his eyes will come off. Perhaps the moment of conversion, this indeed happened. And Paul got up and was baptized and then started to now go to the places, starting in Damascus, the city he was, going from an enemy to the gospel, a persecutor of Christ, to a proclaimer of the grace of God because of a moment that Jesus Christ was revealed to him. My prayer is, and hopefully collectively our prayer is, that we would pray that people would have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Fortunately, in this world, those who claim that they can see often are blind. But those who are blind can now see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saves, now here's the word, wretch like me. I once was lost. Now I am found. I was blind. Now I see. We love those lyrics of this beloved, amazing song because they're true. It's not just John Newton, the writer of that testimony, but it's ours as well. The grace of God. And God didn't choose Paul because he was a great candidate for salvation. He didn't reveal himself to Paul because Paul deserved it. He didn't say, Paul, hey man, we're just going to tweak what you're doing a little bit. No. God extends the gospel to us, not because of you, but because of him. Because of who he is. Extending grace. The power to believe, the Spirit to come into us, to transform us, and the strength to continue to walk in the Jesus direction. Now, I would love to say that after we receive the Spirit, we never sin again. Right? That hasn't been my reality. And it hasn't been yours either. Right? But stepping again into the light, but asking for a power that you did not previously have. Deal with your woundedness. Deal with the darkness. It's progressing and following and becoming more and more like Christ because we believe and received grace. You and I cannot earn salvation. Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. This is the message of grace. And Paul says, look at my life. I was going headlong away from Christ, but not just that, I was pursuing him and persecuting him. And then when I understood who this Jesus was and understood what this means and understood the gospel that was communicated by Christ himself, I believed. And there was a change. And notice, this is very curious, right? That he says that he chose me, who set me apart from my mother's womb. Did you see that? That makes me ask, why didn't Paul receive that message when he was like 5? Right. If your family was destroyed because of Paul, wouldn't you ask that question? Right. Why did it happen here as or after he had been persecuting people or giving his approval? Remember the stoning of Stephen in Acts, right? Paul was there. Paul approved of this message, of this stoning, I should say. He disapproved of Stephen's message. He was all about, yeah, take him out. And here is Paul saying, the gospel opened my eyes, and I hope if you have not understood Jesus, if you not have experienced his power to change, that today you will say, God, come rescue me, right? That's the position of salvation. Not God, hey, look what I can do for you. You want me on your team because I am awesome. God opposes the proud. And gives, here's the word, grace to the humble. Humble people recognize their need for grace. Come on, right? Humble people recognize that they need to be rescued. The gospel is God coming down to us, not us trying to climb up to God, right? Jesus, born of a virgin. Jesus, the spotless Lamb. Jesus, who created all things. Jesus, who provides us the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the one who promised that he will return. And we could say, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, who helps us and transforms us. Open our eyes and pray that for those whom you know. Pray that for your grandchildren. If they not have received, communicate with words, absolutely, but also with your life. Sit down with your grandchildren, perhaps, or your children, and say, let me tell you what Christ has done in me. Right? Paul uses this as evidence for the gospel being not of human origin. And he continues his story in this way. Not only is the gospel of grace, not of human origin, the gospel redeems our past, and we can say, thank you, Jesus. The gospel opens our eyes, and next, the gospel rewrites our future. Right? We should love that part. Right? Paul continues to tell the rest of his story, saying that God was pleased to reveal his Son in me, verse 16, so that, it's for us, the gospel, but it's not about us, right? It's to us, but it's also through us, right? So that what? In his case, that I might preach him, Christ, where? Among the Gentiles. Now, my immediate response, Paul says, was not to consult any human being. Paul didn't go to Peter and James and said, hey, guys, let's talk about this. Did I hear this right? He knew whom he spoke to. It was the risen Lord Jesus himself, understood the message. And he says, my immediate response was not to consult any human being, verse 17. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. Apostolic succession is not here. But I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, which was Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. Now, I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. Now, I assure you before God that what I'm writing to you, it's not a lie, right? He continues and said, then I went to Syria and Cilicia, and I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea and that are in Christ. They only heard this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And here is the important line, not that this other isn't important. Emphasize this, and they praise God because of me. Paul, after his revelation of the gospel of grace, after receiving it, he then received his assignment in Christ. Now, in his case, in that time, he was specifically gifted, crafted to communicate the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And by the way, he was also told how much he would suffer. Not as punishment, but as a reality of those who would resist the message of grace, and that reality is still yet here today. And so, Paul, out of obedience of faith, is that ringing a bell to you? Right? If you know our what do we call it? Our purpose statement, our mission statement. We exist to bring about obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Paul, after receiving the grace of God for the forgiveness of his sins, heard now, Paul, this is what I'd have you to do. And Paul stepped out and did it. He didn't say, yeah, I thought about it for a while and saying, nah. Okay. He received, he believed, and he followed God's specific purpose for him. Here's the good news. Everyone that I understand right now is alive at the moment in this room. Someone next to you are dead, please try to help them a little bit. You're alive. You have time left. You have time left. You have time left. You may have a mountain of regrets. Amazing grace. You still have purpose. You are a citizen in the kingdom, not because of your righteousness, but because of Christ. You have a calling. Now, it may not be to preach the Gospels as a missionary. Right? It might be, I don't know. I don't give the assignments, he does. But I know this, you and I have an assignment, a purpose. Whatever our vocation, whatever our location, is to testify to the goodness and the glory of Christ. And whatever way that works for you, he could say, you know what? I want you to go and testify about me as a teacher in Rockford Schools, as a mechanic or an engineer, as you work with the Ice Hogs. To glorify God and say, what can I do in this context? How can I join together? May this be the testimony of God's grace in your life, and they praised God because of me. That's a good aim for your life. I have to ask myself, do my neighbors praise God because they are next to me? Do your neighbors praise God because you're next to them? Does your family praise God because they see the grace of God in your life and you interact and you are winsome and you overcome evil with, what's the word again? Oh, that's what we're supposed to do? Do your co-workers or do your fellow students praise God because you were a part of their life? Now, this isn't a do better and get it together type of talk. This is, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your empowerment in me. God, thank you for your goodness. So often, those who have sinned much or forgiven much, love much. Right? And to live for his glory with the time you have remaining until you and I see him face to face. The gospel is true, then his promise is true, then that reality is true, and we're invited to live that story. At the end of the notes, past the questions for growth groups, if you're not part of one, I would encourage you to be a part of one. There's just a little sheet based on this passage. And I hope that you look at that and you consider your own story. This will help you. And so you can explain the gospel to people as we should. Make sure you're including in, hey, just let me tell you about my life. And this isn't an exaltation or glorification of saying, look at how awesome I is. I said that really well, didn't I? How awesome I is, right? I hear you. Come on. Come on, Lenny. Right? Look what God has done. Look at his grace. He has transformed me and is transforming me. He has redeemed me and he is redeeming me. He has met me and he continues to meet me. Right. This is powerful. This is helpful. This is the grace lived out among the people. Jesus came in the flesh, speaking truth and offering grace. Thank you, Paul, for this testimony. So let's consider this. I want us to remember, right? I've been praying for this, praying for us. The gospel is not man's invention, it is God's revelation. And because it is from God, it is unchanging and it is unshakable. The gospel redeems our past, no matter how dark, opens our eyes, and rewrites our future with a hope that cannot be taken away. Salvation isn't dependent upon us, but on Christ who's already done it, giving us a spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is yet to come. Now, Paul's story reminds us that there is no one beyond the reach of God's grace. If Paul can be saved, so can your ornery mother-in-law. Or your stubborn husband. Or your derelict child. You wouldn't say that. Well, maybe you would. I don't know. There's no one beyond the reach of God's grace. And if Christ could turn a violent persecutor into a chosen preacher, he can redeem and transform you. Walk into the light. Be honest. Recognize that you need grace of God. Not just grace for yesterday, grace today. He will help us if we believe and receive, walk into the light. Now, your story may not be as dramatic as Paul's, or it may be, you know, just quiet and steady. Your testimony may not be, he saved me from all this nasty stuff, right? But he saved me from participating in all this nasty stuff. Even better. Right? It matters. It's all about God's story of grace. And that story has power. Not only to remind you of God's goodness, but also to shine a light to those around you. I'll end with this illustration, okay? Have you guys noticed this glass on this part? It's called stained glass, you know, it's here. Our life is kind of like stained glass. There's parts of our story, right? Some yellow, shiny. Some dark, right? Each of us are broken in some places, right? This was put together by pieces. And as the pieces are putting together, it's a messy process sometimes. But your story is like that stained glass. At nighttime, it just looks like a mess. But if you put a light behind that, let God be the light in your story. So you take the various pieces of your life. We all have various pieces. God, will you put them together by your grace and shine your light through my story so that the beauty of your grace can be seen by all? That's a good prayer. So I don't know when the last time is that you shared your testimony. I'm asking you this. Pray. God, help me to make the most of every opportunity. God, will you show me an opportunity? Will you give me an opportunity this week? And guess what? You're the scholar of your own story, right? No one knows it like you, right? You don't have to be a Bible scholar and know every chapter and verse. Just tell your story. Right? The gospel is God rescued me through Christ by his grace. And he invites us to have his glory in our story, and it's still evolving. So we are going to receive communion together, okay? I'm going to ask the elders who are serving as ushers, and I'm going to ush as well, okay, in just a little bit. They come forward, and they're going to pass these elements out. So if y'all would come down, that would be super awesome, okay? And as we are distributing these things, if you are a believer, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, this is a time to renew the covenant. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And Rick's going to lead us in all this. I don't want to steal all that. But what I do want to say is this. If you're here today and you say, I have a before in my story, but I haven't had an after. I haven't yet committed. Let today be the day of salvation. You say, God, please rescue me today. And you may be here and you may be saying that, and you're like, Dave, man, I need that a part of my story. Let's talk about that. Let's pray. I encourage you to pray. And to say, I need that type of grace.